Hey, welcome to the Rashawn Franklin Podcast. This is season two, I think episode seven. I'm your host, Rashawn Franklin. I have another KSR alum, a guy who I've always admired his work on KSR. And he just has a lot of great sports knowledge in general. John Shewitt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me back on. It's been way too long.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been too long. We talked about it off mic. You know, life's happened for both you and me. So, you know, I'm doing this less frequently, but, you know, I always love to have you on to talk sports, especially college sports. So, so we're both Kentucky alum. And I think these past 2 weeks for us have been, okay, so what's happened? All the blue bloods, well, Kansas, North Carolina, and Duke make the Final Four. We lose in the first round of St. Peter's. North Carolina passes us up in NCAA tournament wins. Kansas passes us up in all-time wins. And we just look like the worst program it has looked like since Cal has got here. Is that kind of what you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a steady decline since 2015, really.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about the season. I really enjoyed the beginning part of it, where obviously we rolled Kansas on their home floor. We rolled North Carolina on a neutral floor. We beat Tennessee in a shooting exhibition that I don't think I've ever seen Kentucky do before. But then at some point, you just start looking into the numbers and you just kind of got the feeling that it was a little bit unsustainable, mm-hmm. or at least that's kind of what me looking through like all the advanced numbers is one I'm apt to do. We still led, I mean, we were number six in the country in percentage of long twos attempted. It's not winning basketball in 2020. It's not.
You can't do that.
I think I'm just so used to saying 2020 from like all the COVID.
Oh, you did say 2020. I didn't even realize it.
But no, 2022, you can't do that. Back when Cal first started here, you can play like that because everyone else is playing like that. We have the talent advantage.
Right.
Speaking of, I don't feel like we have the talent advantage anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel like the goalpost got moved somewhere along the line. Cal Perry said, oh, we got to do it with transfers now. And like, what, we take that kid from Bucknell, Sestina. Mm-hmm. We took Kell and Grady, who are both fine at their level. But then once you start getting into the slog of conference play where you're playing SEC athletes every day, mm-hmm. those windows that were looking pretty good against like the non-conference and before teams that really figured you out and scouted you, mm-hmm. those windows got awfully tight when it came to shooting.
Yeah. I think Kellen, not to cut you off, I'm sorry. I think Kellen disappeared more than any player we had. Even with Ty and Sevier getting hurt, I think they came back and kind of was doing similar to what they were doing. I know Ty looked a little bit more hurt than usual, but it felt like we could win with how he was playing. Kellen mm-hmm. disappeared, man. And to your point about athletes, you know, facing SEC athletes, I mean, guys he hasn't seen at Davidson, that's probably the knock on him in terms of him playing at a higher level, is that he's just not that athletic. Right. And so it's going to be tough for him to get away from guys and get open shots, even though he's a good shooter. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, and it just came down, like I was just looking at the numbers, Ty, his 3-point percentage was good before the injury. And mm-hmm. I don't think he was ever 100%. Mm-hmm. And that's severe. I don't think he ever changed throughout the year, but I don't blame him for that. I blame Cal for not like scheming stuff open.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we do that 3-man weave every time. And then as soon as Sevier decided to drive it, there were 3 people waiting by the left side of the rim for his little, like, whatever you want to call that layup he does. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's just no variety. There's no change. The moment I knew that, like, it wasn't happening this year was, I kind of just tricked myself into it against Ole Miss. Like, okay, it's getting towards the end of the regular season. They're ready to start postseason play. Mm-hmm. They handled Florida on the road just fine. Florida was okay. They weren't great, but it was the same Mike White team every single year.
Oh, yeah.
Then sure. We got to the SEC tournament. We struggled to get away from Vanderbilt. I think the biggest lead was, what, 7 at some point?
That was alarming. I thought we were going to roll them, and we just couldn't get away from them, like you said. And
Pippen Jr. didn't even play good.
He didn't even play well. That's the thing. Like, their one NBA guy, they might have another one maybe. But their one stud, he didn't really go off, and we couldn't get away from them. So that was kind of concerning. And then it's the Tennessee loss kind of just, you know.
Yeah, that was the thing for me. It's like the alarm bells were kind of ringing, but I'm like, okay, I can ignore those. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. The Tennessee game was every Cal loss we've had in the tournament since really 2014.
Right.
I mean, we panicked, turn the ball over, we dump it down to Oscar when that's not his game. His game is getting the rebounds, operating in space when we had the guards free flowing out in the perimeter, mm-hmm. like we did at the beginning part of the season. Then we reverted back to like Cal's old standby mm-hmm. of just dumping it down to the post, jack up a bunch of long twos, play stall ball. Like, we're not letting our players actually play. And that just felt like I watched the same game. Like, every tournament loss was that Tennessee game. And it's like, okay, we're going to get a 2 seed. We're going to beat our 15 seed really bad, which of course we didn't. I thought we'd end up beating Murray State by like 4 points. And then I thought Purdue would just like beat us, even though Purdue's not great either.
Right.
So it's hard to see any optimism going forward. Like, even if Oscar comes back, because he's not changing. There's no one on staff who's going to change.
Yeah. I don't think so either. So that means to me that he has to get the best players. Like, we have to get back to that. If this is going to – I mean, so we can't break up. So, like, we just look at it like a relationship. We can't break up, or we can't get a divorce. So we're just going to have to change certain things and go back to what we were doing before, and that's getting the best players. Can we still do that? I'm not even sure that that's possible, because if you said something interesting to me or on Twitter about, you know, him not really going after the best guys anymore, or what? I don't know what you meant by that, though.
I just don't think he can land them anymore. Now, granted, that was with an old recruiting staff. We do have Chin Coleman for however much longer he's going to be here, because he's probably frustrated with Cal yelling at him all the time.
He's probably pissed, yes.
We got Orlando back, which is good. He was always a great recruiter for us. Mm-hmm. So I feel – and, well, let's just go ahead and say it. Shaden Sharpe's gone.
He's gone.
We know, that's happening.
But so is Oscar, though. I think Oscar has to leave, because there's nothing much he can't prove anything else in college basketball. He's going to be National Player of the Year. He did what, 28 double doubles. You have to go to the next level now. You can't wait. So and you can tell by the transfers they're sniffing around. He's gone, and he should leave. We've got enough bigs to replace him. They just have to step up and be who we think they can be. I actually think the guy that's going to step up and be kind of, I mean, not going to fill his role, but our best big next year is probably going to be Lance Ware. I really like Lance Ware in terms of his skill set. He just has to put it all together, but go ahead.
Yeah. Livingston, that's the kid we got who's like number 3 overall. Who's the other guard who's supposed to be really good?
Kasan Wallace.
Kasan Wallace, okay. I don't know how I forgot that name, but then we get the kid for the transfer from Iowa who's supposed to be a really good 3-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like late in the season, like Cal's just going to put the brain worms in his head. It's like, hey, here's how you actually need to shoot.
Yeah.
It's like, it reminds me back in the day when like LSU still had Les Miles and they started recruiting quarterbacks. It's like, if you're getting recruited to play quarterback at LSU, that's probably a red flag on you at that point.
Right.
And like, yeah. I'm just trying to think, like, who are the shooters who have like shown their best stuff in March under Cal?
Yeah.
Like, I could think of 3 off the top of my head.
Who's that?
Because Brandon Knight. Mm-hmm. It was too smart to listen to Cal. Legitimately one of the smartest, honestly, maybe one of the smartest people who's ever gone to UK. Mm-hmm. I think he came in with like one of those like 4.8 GPAs or something like that.
Jesus, yeah.
He was brilliant. We had Deron Lamb, who was dumb to listen to Cal, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. And then Aaron. Aaron's probably the third guy, Aaron Harrison.
Well, he didn't really hit that many. He just hit the timely shots.
Oh, okay.
But I was thinking it was more Malik Monk because, like, during that late run. Like, those are the only 3 I can think of who, like, really went, like, way above their season average. I think Aaron just hit the big shots. But,
which,
granted, that's a big thing in March when the games are tight. You got to hit the big ones. But those are, I think, the 3 who have, like, overperformed their shooting expectation in March. Like, everybody else, Jamal Murray had a terrible March. Granted, it was only 2 games.
And that team was bad overall. When you look back at it. I mean, it was just him and Tyler, really. So,
John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, outside of that one game against like Wake Forest where he beat them by 30, had a horrible March. it just doesn't get better. And like, you even think back to the 2012 national, like, Final Four. Like, we had like 15 point leads on both Louisville and Kansas, and then what we do, we played stall ball, shooters got scared, and then we luckily pulled that out.
Yeah.
Just by having a space alien down low. Which takes us back to the original point of, we don't have as many space aliens as we used to have, and we need more of those.
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of space aliens, I think these guys are legitimate. Kasan Wallace and Chris, I think Chris Livingston can play himself into a top seven pick. He's that talented. When I first watched him, I know we were probably going to land him. He just has a lot in terms of being a wing that can do a lot scoring wise. If he wants to be a good defender, he can, because he's that athletic. He's going to be really good. I haven't watched as much Kasan Wallace, but Chris Livingston, man, I'm really excited for him to get to Lexington and see what that looks like. So the St. Peter's loss, man. That, I mean, obviously was just, it was disturbing on a lot of levels because of who we are as a program, but just the unpreparedness and the tightness of the players at the end of the game. It's just like, this is a huge issue. Like, if any other coach lost that game, he might have been fired. But Cal is, you know, Teflon and lifetime contract, all that good stuff. It's very difficult to, you know, put a chink in his armor. What do you think about the game when you were watching it, and when did you realize we could probably lose this?
When we were tied at halftime, that was ridiculous. That, I mean, it should just, like, we saw a North Carolina team we beat by 30 points this year just come out and absolutely annihilate them from the start.
They kicked their ass.
I mean, just being tied at halftime, I thought we were still going to win. I thought we were going to pull it out by like 12 or 13 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And just eventually when they got tired, but it just never happened. And then like when Kellen Grady was off by like 2 feet on some of those threes, like it just never happened.
Yeah. And to your point with, you know, not having the space aliens, this, I mean, even though we were playing well as a team, you know, there's not that much talent on the floor. I think Ty is going to be a decent NBA player. I don't think he's as good as maybe Emmanuel Quickly. Well, we'll see. I'm not going to say that. I don't want to put that on him yet. But, you know, as far as NBA talent goes, there isn't much. I think Oscar is going to find a niche in the NBA because he's just that. He just works hard enough to do that.
He could definitely be like a lightweight, like Kenneth Faried, just go in there and get a million rebounds at some point.
Yeah, he's going to be a backup center that can come off the bench, but maybe he starts eventually for someone in terms of someone needing to, I don't know. Actually, maybe not, but a backup center, I could see him playing because he's very athletic. He's very, he can move. He's good grabbing rebounds. He can play at the next level, I think. So, yeah, he's got, and I think with Orlando coming back, this is going to help him get some of those high level guys. But even still, I'm not a huge fan of how our recruiting class looks next year. It's like, it feels like it needs a couple more guys, and I don't want it to be transfers. I want it to be like actual five stars, but it's too late for that.
Yeah, I mean, all the good five stars have committed at this point, I believe. Yeah. I'll look up the exact class right now.
Yeah, let's take a look. Cause, and then what was up with the Sky Clark situation? Did Cal just say, you know, we don't need you anymore?
Man, I don't know. I really don't know what was up with that. Like, so yeah, we just have two commits right now: Livingston and Kasan Wallace.
Right.
7 and 8 overall, both guards. Livingston's more of a wing, but. It's just hard to be optimistic right now. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got to do something. I think he's probably working on it right now to pull a rabbit out of his hat in terms of going into the next season, because we're not going to have Shaden. Shaden cannot come back simply for the fact that he's a top 15 player. He could get hurt. You know, his family has worked so hard. He's worked so hard to get to this point. he has to leave. So I'm not expecting him to come back at all. But they've got to do something. I don't know if they get another kid to reclassify. I don't really want to get into the transfer for portal. I think that they want, I think you might have saw today that they had a Andre Cabello. He entered the transfer portal from Illinois. I think that has something to do with the Scott Clark thing. I think he's going to be a cat, actually. So,
oh God, I hope not. I hated Cabello so much. Oh my God. I had, so full disclosure here, I won a 5-1 future on Illinois to win the Big Ten this year. I picked them in. Yeah, I had them going to the Elite Eight this year. I couldn't quit Illinois because they got everything I look for in like a tournament team.
Yeah.
They got 2 40% shooters, and they had another guy who was like 37% from three at like high volume. I don't care so much about like team 3-point percentage. I mean, because if you looked at that, you'd think Kentucky was a great 3-point shooting team. But it was really just one guy. But Illinois had two guys, real high volume with like good percentage. They got that rebounder. But it only looked good against the Big Ten because everyone in the Big Ten plays that dump it down to the post style.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of really came out. So, but yeah.
Wow.
And I just watched them play. And when Curbelo came back, I believe it was against the first game against Purdue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was MLK Day. I actually watched that game live when it happened. And like he was just – like the ceiling is so high, but the floor is also just so low, and there's never that middle ground game with him.
Right.
It's either just like fantastic or terrible. Like there's no in between.
Yeah. Well, that's why. That's the shooting concerns me from last season. I think he had a better shooting freshman year, but the shooting from last year definitely concerns me. I think that they're looking at him like I think I talked to one of my friends about this. As like a six man that can come in and give you offense. I mean, like you said, his ceiling is very high. The first time I saw him playing for Illinois next to IO and next to Kofi, I thought that he was an NBA player like they were. But, you know, this year, you know, I'm not even sure what his story was, but I know he came back, he was hurt and didn't play as well. But I think that, you know, coming to Kentucky, maybe coming with Orlando, they have a better – you know, playing under these lights, he might be able to put it all together. So we'll see. I actually think that that's happening. That's what it feels like. It just feels like that's going to happen. But maybe I'm wrong. So
well, I just went back to a regular sleep schedule. Now I'm going to wake up with nightmares of that tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's talk Final Four. We got Duke UNC matchup, which I'm kind of excited about just because we haven't seen it before. And then Kansas and Villanova. Two of those teams we beat by a lot. And Duke kind of dominated us from start to finish in Brooklyn. But what are your feelings about the Final Four? And do you have any like betting angles that you're looking for with these last three games?
The last ticket that I have open right now, haven't made the MOP bet yet, is Kansas to be runner up. I got that at 5-1.
Okay.
And with the injury to Moore at Villanova, I feel a little better about that, but they play so slow and they only played six guys anyway. So it's going to be a 50 possession game and they're just going to maximize their variance, see if they can win, but I feel good about Kansas. I hated them in the middle part of the season where they got blown out against Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They really only had 1 3-point shooter there, but they had, I can't remember the other kid's name besides Abaji, but really developed into a decent 3-point shooter. I think it's that kid who looks like a Belgian World War II soldier.
Yeah.
I swear, Kansas has one of those kids every year.
Yeah, Grady, I think his name is, maybe.
Or
is
like that the Lightfoot other? Or Morningstar.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about then. I think we're talking about two different guys then.
Yeah. I know they have two guys at high volume now, so that's kind of what gave me security to get them out of that region. But I think they end up beating Villanova, who's also my other Final Four pick.
Wow.
Go to the, I had Villanova, Kansas, and then I had Gonzaga. I can't believe I bought into that fraud machine.
Yeah,
I can't
that's believe a fraud. It. They, I don't know. So – why do kids keep going there? I mean, I get it, I guess, but
so, like I never bought into them. I picked Baylor last year. Mm-hmm. Like their record against top four seeds is like 2-13.
Yeah.
Like I thought with Chet, like even him just being so skinny, like their defense was terrible. They know how to like game the system when it comes to like power ratings and KenPom and all that. Their defense was not good last year, mm-hmm. but they got Chet this year. And I feel like he's just so big and so commanding. He doesn't even have to guard anybody. He just stand there and block shots, which he did for most of the season.
Absolutely.
But then, I mean, if you're just physical with them at all, they wilt. Like Baylor, the North Carolina title loss, they lost to Texas Tech when Texas Tech went. They lost to West Virginia 1 year. Mm-hmm. Like, these are just all pressing power teams, and like they wilt anytime you do that. And I was just willing to overlook it last year against Baylor, because everyone talks about their athletes last year, but no one ever brings up that their athletes all shot 40% from three last year.
Yes. That was a good-ass team, man.
If it wasn't the COVID year and they didn't have a COVID pause, I think we'd be talking about that Baylor team as one of the best ever.
Mm-hmm. They were good.
Because they were like, what, 30-2 or something ridiculous like that? Mm-hmm. And the only reason they lost was because they had like a month-long COVID pause.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had five guys with over 100 attempts from three, and they're all at 40%. Like, you don't see that in college basketball.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. And they're actually shaped like the teams I really like. Like, they have, like, a kind of like a bruising four guy. They had a guy who could, block shots. They had a lot of guards who could beat you off the dribble and shoot. Like, they were tough, man. But I knew Gonzaga was a fraud because of their perimeter guys. I don't think their perimeter guys were good enough. In this tournament, you have to have guys that can get you buckets at the end of the games from the perimeter, and they didn't have any guys. I'm not a huge fan of Nembhard. The other guys just okay. The reason why they went so far last year is because they had Jalen Suggs, who ended up being a top five pick. And I like Chet. I think Chet's going to be a good player at the next level. I actually think Timmy's going to play well at the next level too. But they just didn't have enough perimeter skill to warrant a national championship, but he's gonna have to figure that out. He's got that monkey on his back, Mark Few, that it's very difficult. I'm sure it's difficult for him to sleep at night from losing all these games and having all these great teams and not being able to close the deal. It's nasty. It's actually I feel bad for him, actually, because it's really bad in terms of that. So Duke UNC, man. Is Duke are they going to win? That would be like the ultimate slap in our face if Duke was to win a national championship. That would be kind of,
I think, unfair. It makes it worse because Coach K, that would be what, his sixth title?
Ugh.
And like his millionth Final Four. And the thing is, like, I remember everyone talking about Calipari this summer. He's like, oh, he's recognized he's got to do the transfer market. Here's Coach K just doing Coach Cal's original strategy of just stacking up like NBA draft talent freshmen, and now they're going to win the national title.
Oh,
just so that he laid out the Cal laid out the template for everybody, then deviated from it.
Oh,
I mean, they're going to win.
Oh,
and no. It's just the worst too, because we know it's going to happen. Because I mean, we all made jokes when they had that bizarre ass like celebration of life ceremony or whatever that was after they got blown out at home against North Carolina. I mean, it's 100% going to happen. So
that, that loss kind of gives me some hope, but I think that they're playing too well, and
they've got too much size, too much athleticism, too many shooters. Their defense could use work, but it's gotten better, but they're going to win.
They've got about five to six guys who are going to play at the next level on this team. And that used to be us, like you said. In terms of Paolo, man, I really wish he wasn't a Dookie. I love that kid in terms of an NBA prospect. I think it's two guys that are four of them. It's Chet, it's Jaden Ivey, it's Paolo, And it's Jabari Smith. Those guys are clearly going to be probably the top four picks. But Paolo, man, he's got the – sometimes being a superstar is between the years as well as the talent. And he's got like a killer mentality that I think, probably lends itself to them winning this title, man. So I like him. I think he's going to be really, really good at the next level. And I think he's playing himself into the top 2-3 pick. So
I'm not like a big draft guy. I'm not good at projecting like individual stuff. All the modeling I do is team based. And then I just kind of pick it off from there. The player I like the most is Jabari Smith. I love Jabari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, not many people have that sort of fluidity off a dribble, mm-hmm. who can shoot like he can, who's got the floor presence. I can't pronounce that word. Floor presence. Sound like foghorn leghorn.
Yeah.
but I loved him because I won Auburn 7-1 to win the SEC outright. That one should have been – I had a great college basketball season.
Hell yeah.
So I watched a ton of their games, and I loved him so much, and I know he's so good because outside of, like, Walker Kessler and his, like, rim protecting, that team is trash.
Yeah, they're probably going to suck.
There's a point where they were shooting well, but then when, like, the fact that they're just all shooting ridiculous shots that just weren't falling anymore because they were ridiculous shots. Without Jabari Smith, that team wins 10 games.
Wow.
I think they struggle even to get to 10. Those guards are so bad. They're so bad.
Yeah. They really shrunk in his last however many games. They've been bad for the back half of the season for real. Walker Kessler seems like he's going to be a top 15 pick. It's looking like as far as the draft board said. And I think he's going to play with the next level. But yeah, Jabari, he's fluid. He's very skilled, and he plays defense. So I really like him too. I think Paolo is kind of like he has the willpower more so than Jabari. It seems like, but I think they're going to be superstars in the league. It seems like both of them. So
plus Paolo's a little bigger too. So.
Yeah,
definitely helps a little
but
bit.
I think I like Jabari's size in terms of he's smaller, but he can do more on the perimeter because he's smaller, which I like. And and Bruce Pearl, man, he was kind of talking like he thought he was gonna win a national championship with this squad. He said something like compared this team to the Anthony Davis team. In some instances, when we first went to Auburn early in the season, and you know, he felt flat on his face with that, but
They didn't have a Deron Lamb or a Darius Miller on that team.
Yeah, somebody to put it all together, and then somebody to hit threes. So you got Duke winning.
I got Duke beating Kansas, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think Duke figures it out against North Carolina this time. I think that they beat Villanova in the final. So we'll see. I have one more question for you, and then I'll let you go. When's the next time? Two questions. When's the next time we're in the Final Four, and when's the next time we win the national championship? Are we talking 5 years, 10 years? Like, what is this gonna? Basically, I'm asking: is this ship gonna get right? Is he going to start landing these top players, and are we going to be back? This has to bother him, right? Like, as far as everybody passing us the fuck up, Duke's about to win a national championship. I know he's got to be hurting. When are we going to get this right? And do you think we're going to get this right?
I don't think so. You can't win with that offense anymore. It was that Jonathan Giovanni tweet that came out. It's like, nobody across the world, not college, not NBA, world runs this system anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, there's no incentive to change. Like, everything in this world's incentive driven. Mm-hmm. What's his incentive? He's making $9 million a year. Mm-hmm. He's got his staff filled out with his friends. He's got his son on staff for whatever godforsaken reason he has him on staff. Like, I mean, you could just bring in John Beilein for a year. Like, he's available right now, have him be an offensive consultant, so then he can go to whatever job he wants next.
Yeah.
Or he may be too old. Like, this is just one guy out there. He may not want to be a head coach again. Just have him in there, be your offensive coordinator. Everything's solved.
Yeah.
But I think he's just too much of a control freak to even, like, give it up. And like, I mean, I just, I'm lost. Like,
Yeah, I was talking, I know he doesn't want to go out like this, go out losing in the first round to a 15 seed. But you know, I could see Cal retiring the next, I mean, the talk has been there for a while. You know, him just saying, you know, I'm done with this. I think if he had won a national championship, one of those times, maybe, you know, he might have, but I think he's going to try to win one more. And I think that'll be it for him. In terms of, I've been talking to people about replacements because I think that's natural with us losing and having these two back-to-back bad seasons. Is there a guy that you have in mind that you think could take on this beast and be a follow Cal and be successful?
There are people I have in mind, but I think the person on the top of Mitch's list is Scott Drew.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. And honestly, I think that'd be a pretty solid hire.
Really? I don't know about Scott. I got to do some research on him. I mean, he's a national championship winner. So, you know, that's good to have on your resume. But
Baylor's was so, so bad when he got there. And I used to make fun of Scott Drew too. But then I was also young and dumb and didn't realize like what Baylor's floor was. I mean, he took over for a coach who covered up a player murdering somebody.
Yeah.
Like massive probation, a school who has like a 12,000 seat arena, they're downsizing that like to like some downtown Waco location to 7,500.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still not even sure they can fill that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would come.
He would definitely, no. He would definitely come. The issue is he the right guy for this job? And I don't know. I got to do more research on Scott Drew. The guy I've been mentioning, and I think that has been, you know, has been the talk of Kentucky fans for a while is Chris Beard. But I think the real guy that I think could really do this and be successful is Brad Stevens. That's the guy I want. He got fired basically last year. He's the GM of the Boston Celtics. I don't know how happy he is not coaching. Probably not that happy and looking at the landscape and seeing what's possible. But man, I think he would do extremely well in Lexington.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it just depends on, do you want to leave like a great job in Boston to get yelled at by morons like me who are just so angry that you're calling the coach fat?
Yeah, I mean, does he want to coach? I mean, that's the question. And Kentucky it's a great job. I mean, it doesn't get better really. I mean, it's Duke, it's us. I mean, it's a couple NBA jobs that you just like, you know, really revel. But we're one of those jobs. And, you know, if he really wants to coach and he thinks he could do well at Kentucky and it's the right time, I think it could be a great fit. So,
yeah, I would love it, but I think Scott Drew would be number one just because I don't think Brad Stevens would leave, but I've been wrong before.
Yeah. Scott Drew doesn't do it for me. I don't know why.
He just kind of reminds me of like those old tubby teams, like, but with just more athletes all over the floor.
Yeah. I don't know if I think he had a really good team and kudos for him for building that.
Mm-hmm.
But man, Kentucky coach, you have to have, you know, some swag. You got to have, you got to be a monster recruiter. And maybe he can when he gets here, but you know, it's not easy. And you got to have a certain swag and belief about yourself that maybe he does. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him. But when I watch him on these NCAA broadcasts and him talking, I don't see Kentucky coach, but you know, maybe I'm wrong. So,
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to blow up this dude's spot or anything or tell you who we're talking to. Some guy I'm acquainted with DMs with a reporter who's UK centric. It's not Matt, but basically said the top two of Mitch's list is like either Brad Stevens or Scott Drew.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Breaking some news.
I don't know how true it is.
Yeah.
I would consider it reliable, but then again, I don't know how true it is, but I'm not going to blow up the guy's spot. It does make me sound ridiculous. It's like, well, I've heard from a guy, but
yeah,
I've seen the screenshots, but so I'm not going to blow up the spot like that. But that's what I hear, at least. But that involves getting rid of the $50 million albatross that is John Calipari.
Yeah, he's going to have to just leave. It's not going to be us. I mean, he's going to have to, I mean, and hopefully he leaves on top. I would love that if he wins the national championship next year. I don't see that happening, but I would love if he goes out on top. And
I mean, if he personally wants to win a national championship and dedicate it to spiting me, he can own me as long as he wants. Please own me.
Please. But absolutely, I don't know.
Win a national title. Embarrass me. I don't care.
Yes, please. Yeah, man, it's ugly. He's gonna have to make up for the Sheldon loss. It's bad in Lexington right now. So I hope they figure it out. But I'm gonna get you out of here on this. I think Coach O is the guy you need as your sidekick, as your guy in the trenches to get out of this. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have Kenny Payne anymore, Coach O would be the second guy.
Second guy. Yeah, I mean, Kenny's the guy. And if we had still got that type of recruit that, you know, we were used to getting, I think we would have won more titles. But and it's not over, but it's, you know, it just feels weird right now. And
I get the feeling that he likes us very much.
He doesn't.
Because the attention was great, like when you're winning.
Yeah.
Well, you're not winning at Kentucky. There's no worse place to be.
Hell no.
Or Ohio State.
Hell no. I mean, we pay you too much money, bro. Like, and we really care about this shit. So it's like,
if things are going bad, there are three places I don't want to be the coach of: Alabama football, Ohio State football, and Kentucky basketball.
Mm-hmm.
If things are going bad there, it's going to be real bad for you.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm sure it's really bad for him. I'm sure it burns him up too. I'm sure it burns him up. But you can't. First of all, if K does win the title and goes out winning a title, oh man, you got to stay around. So you do that. You can't just let
the template that he invented
with the template that you did. Oh Jesus, this is bad. This is
for the second time.
Second time.
For the second time.
Second time. He took the first one, and that kind of took, I mean, I think for all Kentucky fans, even me, not even me, I'm a Kentucky fan, but like, it kind of like, that 2015 loss was dejecting.
It's never been the same since then.
It was like, that really hurt. I've never been hurt more by a loss, I don't think.
I don't think it's even close.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I was really sad when the Cubs lost in 03. I cried, but this one was more, you know, I was younger, but this one was more, damn, you know, it's just like we had all this talent and we were so close to doing something that never gets done and probably will never happen again. And we lost it. And then Duke, you turn on the TV on Monday and Duke wins it. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I usually get over those pretty quick. That's the one year I couldn't even watch it. I couldn't watch it at all.
Yeah, I remember I was laying in bed and I was like, I'm just going to turn it on. And they were up. I was like, fuck, they're going to probably win this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Johnny, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for doing this. As always, we got to do it more.
Absolutely.
And yeah, man, take care. Thanks for coming on.
All right, no problem. Appreciate you having me on again.
Absolutely.